All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up today on page 28. We actually left off kind of in the middle of the page. We left off 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Inzman. So remember, again, Rav Kashtil is explaining this idea that the way the Malach Zakin Uksil, the way the Yetzirah ultimately works, is by convincing us that there's not enough time for anything. Just not enough time. Inzman, v'ish kol kach harbe dvar mahaspik lasos liknos. There's not enough time, and there are so many things that I still want to enjoy, that I still want to buy, that I still want to do. U'bishvil hadvarim halalu. Ha'adam tzarech la'avod yoser, va'az shuv ein lo zman. We'll say this is another profound idea that he's saying. It's kind of nestled here in the midst of the larger paragraph, which is, you see, when a person makes life about their comfort, let's say life is about my comfort, and by definition, part of that comfort is, I want to have this, I want to possess this, I want to do this, I want to acquire this. So what ends up happening? Now I need to be able to work to support that lifestyle. So what happens? That lifestyle, that approach to life requires a lot of money. Making a lot of money requires an incredible amount of work. And suddenly a person's life becomes all about work. And a person has no time. But you understand how that's a cyclical way. I created that urgency. You know, it's like this is sometimes one of the hardest lessons in life, which is that because if I'm a high maintenance individual and I require a lot of stuff, then by definition I'm going to have to work very hard and I'm going to have no time, legitimately, because I'm always working. But the reason I have no time, the reason I'm always working, is because I've created a certain expectation for my lifestyle. But yet at the same time, if I change that out, I will say, again, remember, no one's ever suggesting, not even the Ramchal himself, saying, you know, live in a hut and sit on milk crates and, you know, be happy and say, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for the, you know, piece of chicken I have once a week on Shabbos. That's not what we're advocating here. What he's just pointing out is that I have to be honest with the way my life is because I often choose to make it that way. So if my life becomes about my personal pleasure and happiness, and therefore by definition I want to be able to have everything I want in order to make me materially happy, and I'm going to work hard to do that, so I'll end up working hard, I'll have no time, but I'm working hard and have no time because that's the framework I've created for myself. In other words, what he's saying is that sometimes legitimately we don't have time. Sometimes I'm just pashat like no time. But I have to ask myself, why is it that I have no time? And is it because that I've created for myself the expectation of a lifestyle that demands of me to put in all of this time, to commit all of these resources, to work so hard? So let's go on. He says, Adam nichnas l'sifriya. A person walks into a library and he looks around and says, oh, there's not enough time to read all of these books. Hakol sipurim v'dimyonos shlemim. And yet, again, all of those things is all, literally, dimyonos is like fiction or imagination. Ha'adam mevazveis shalosh arba shos bayom al dimyonos. Person wastes 3 to 4 hours a day on fiction and imagination. In other words, we'll say what that means is that sometimes we're not productive. Part of the reason that we don't have enough time is because we don't use our time well, right? Our head is just floating in different places. Person has no time to think about himself and about his purpose. Sometimes a statement like this is not even an exaggeration. A whole day could go by. A person could literally be busy from the beginning all the way until the end. I don't even have 5 minutes. But again, I have to ask myself, why don't I have 5 minutes? Is it because mamish, I'm working? Why? Because I set myself up for a particular lifestyle. And that lifestyle demands a certain amount of stuff. And that stuff requires a certain amount of parnosos. So I become my own worst enemy in the creation of my own personal expectations. Harav medames zesham. So Rav Kook, remember again, we started yesterday, he's quoting Rav Kook. So Rav Kook compares this to Labayis shenichnas or meachalonos. So Rav Kook gives the following image. He says, if you have a home that has natural light, sunlight comes in from the windows. Va'adam mis'atzvan mizeh, u'mechasa hakol shelo yikanis tipas or tipas man. So what happens? And a person says, no, I don't know, the light is too depressing. So what does he do? He covers up all of the windows. So we'll say, so Rav Kashtiel is saying, this same idea is with time. So the truth is, there's so much time. There is so much time. It's just sometimes what we do is we cover the windows. We block out time by simply misusing it and misappropriating it. But the time is there. The shaila just is how we choose to use it. Hamelech hazokin doik shel tishar lanu tipazman. Remember, the old king, the Yitzhara, his job is to make sure that we don't have one little bit of time left. Zutechusha, top of page 29. Zutechusha, shehu yotzer. Tzarech lahaspik harbe ha'emesh zelo nachon. Tzarech lachios chayim enoshim. But we have to rally against this and recognize there is time. There is absolutely time. Let's be clear on something. There is not time for everything. That is an absolutely true statement. So because there is not time for, everything, I have to decide, what am I dedicating my time to? This is an incredible, right, this is very important. Not time for everything, so what am I dedicating my time to? L'dugma, so listen, this is actually an interesting example. He says, l'dugma, let me give an example. Adam holech le'echol b'misada. Person goes to eat in a restaurant. So look what he writes. Harize ma mishaneh ma'achata la'ar chasarayim. So what does it matter what you ate for lunch? Ha'im achalta sandwich or she'achalta b'misada. So we'll say bottom line, person has a sandwich or a person has a nice entree at a restaurant. B'chol mikre, acharei sha'a, ata kvar lo zocher ma'achalta. Let's say here's the bottom line. An hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, you can't even remember what you ate. But unless Uncle Mike made it. If Uncle Mike made it, you could remember. But oh, Sarega, Zetechusha Nifla. So listen to this. Listen to how profound this idea. You know, when I'm hungry and I want to sit down to the meal, so literally finding the right restaurant. You know, this is like in Avoda. I'm going to find the right restaurant. Histovavta, I mean, this is not Baltimore, obviously. It doesn't really, you know, but you know, a person's out. You know, I'm looking for the right place. Histovavta shah bichte limtsua samisada shirati. So I'm going to find the right restaurant that I want to eat in. Zuashanya. This, it's an illusion. Because in another two hours, I'm not even going to remember this. So I'll say, this is actually a very profound example. This is what happens. Nothing wrong with going out to a restaurant. A person should go out, should enjoy, absolutely nothing wrong. What's the problem? The problem is when it becomes an avoda. Right? When it becomes an avoda, where should we eat? What should we eat? Let's map out our options. And by the way, he's just using restaurant as an example. Right? Let's really give it some significant thought. Well, I heard about this and I heard about this. I'm going to post it on Facebook and I'm going to tweet about it. And I'm going to get feedback. And I'm going to... So when the whole thing becomes an avoda, then it becomes silly and a waste of time. Perez wants to go to a restaurant to have a nice meal. Gegizundeid. Absolutely enjoy it. But the moment that it becomes an avoda, that takes up time, is the moment ultimately again that the Yitzhahara is saying, look, I have been successful over the neshama. Do you understand what he's saying over here? All of these things, Rav Kashtiel is not saying don't go to the restaurant. That's not his take-home message. I mean, he might say that if you ask him, I don't know. But that's not his take-home message. His take-home message is just understand how the Yitzhahara works. He takes these things that are nice, but are totally not priorities and important, and makes me feel like they are priorities and important, and they soak up my time. And suddenly again, the hour that I spent waiting, the hour that I spent, you know, searching for the right restaurant, now becomes an hour that I no longer have for myself. So at the end of the day, when I say, oh, Nebuch, I didn't have time to do this, this, or this, and I realize, well, it's because I spent an hour looking for the right restaurant, now I understand how the Yitzhahara was successful. Page 29, middle of the page. Kishiyesh zman misoreres haneshama. So when there is time, the neshama is able to awaken. Vim hayila adam zman ma haya osa ma hu haya osa. So okay, so right now we've established that Yitzhahara operates by trying to convince me that there's no time. There's no time. And if there was time, what would I do? Im haya la adam zman ba'oven tiv'i hu haya yoshev v'lo zaz l'shum makom. Well, so listen to this. If there really was time, what a person would do is a person would sit and not move at all. What does that mean? Hanishama shalo haisa maschila l'daber. So listen to these beautiful words. Sometimes in life, it's not about doing anything, but it's about doing absolutely nothing. If we gave ourselves time to just kind of be, to just have silence in life, to not do anything, something amazing would happen, which is that the neshama, my neshama, would start to speak to me. Aval ha'adam lo misugal. But it's difficult for us to ever have this experience. Ha'adam chayiv kozman chofesh imata omer lo lasheves be'ez ha'makom v'lach shov kamazman hu lo misugal. Right? So what happens? If you tell a person, listen, I need you just for 5 minutes to think. So what happens? Most people would say, can't do it. Can't do it, right? Well, so besides the fact that our attention spans have diminished so much in general, but now he's saying to sit and like think for 5 minutes. Whoever heard of such a thing like this? Who chayiv mashu? Who yaskil esasik bedvarim? Right? I will say, I bet if we did this like as a clinical trial, so probably about 90 seconds in, person will become fidgety, right? You know, like. Person starts, I say, like, sometimes, you know, you leave your phone at home, you don't have your phone with you, so, you know, there's, like, a thing called phantom limb syndrome, where a person is an amputee, nebuch, and, like, they look for that limb, they feel the pain of that limb, like, push it, there's, like, phantom cell phone, you know, syndrome, I start reaching, sometimes it's Shabbos morning, I start reaching, you know, I start, hey, mamish, what happened, Ayeka, you know, where did you go, you know, so... See, he says, but this is the challenge. The challenge is that if we would just give ourselves a couple of minutes to think, just a couple of minutes to contemplate, suddenly we would realize that the neshama would begin to speak to us. So, you know, I'll stop with this. We'll stop over here for today. But you know, the Rebbe Yitzchak Berditch says something amazing. He says that he quotes the Zohar, and the Zohar says that if you listen very carefully, you can still hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha from Har Sinai. So the Zohar says, now the truth is we know scientifically that sound breaks down into smaller and smaller units. So you could have a sound that technically began a long time ago and is still present, technically present, it's just breaking down into smaller units of audibility. I don't know if audibility is a word, but you understand what I mean. So the Rebbe says over here that if you listen very carefully, you can still go ahead and hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Zohar says. But the Rebbe says, what's the chap? The chap is, you need to be on the right frequency. Because if the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting on AM, and I'm on FM, so I'm never going to hear him, even though the sound is there. That's what Rav Kashtiel is saying over here also. The neshama wants to speak to us every single day. The neshama, the melech, wants to say, I have so much to tell you. I have so much I need to tell you about yourself. There are so many things you need to learn about yourself. You need to learn about life. But the problem is what? We never have the time or the patience to hear him. Why? Because I'm so busy. To be busy with important things is one thing. The tragedy is I'm often busy with things that are irrelevant, inane, and simply unimportant. And therefore, we'll pick up with this tomorrow, but Kashtiel explains if we just gave a little bit of time to hear the neshama out, what we would be able to learn about ourselves and about life would be absolutely amazing. All right, we'll stop over and pick up the bottom of page 29 tomorrow, Mirat Hashem.